Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
On the phone with me for this segment, I have Angel Magallanes. She is the Coalition Against Sexual Exploitation Coordinator with Children's Network, and we're going to be talking about child exploitation. So thank you very much for joining me today, Angel. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Stephen, for having us. I appreciate the acknowledgement.
Now, first of all, tell us a little bit about CASE. What is the Coalition Against Sexual Exploitation?
So CASE was the brainchild of our former district attorney, Mr. Mike Ramos, in March of 2009, so we'll be 10 years old this March. He knew that there was services that were lacking for this particular population. So his brainchild basically was, let's develop this coalition. At the time, it was only the district attorney's office, the Department of Behavioral Health, and then the coordinator position, which I'm currently in. There were three entities involved, and they said there's a population of youth that we need to provide direct services for. So in 2009, the three entities got together and they developed CASE, and it was a Department of Behavioral Health funded program, which it still currently is. But now we've grown up to 11 entities and county agencies and community partners. So we've grown quite a bit in the last 10 years.
So what is human trafficking and commercial sexual exploitation? Define that for us.
So under the Federal Trafficking Victims Protection Act that was developed in 2000, it's any child under the age of 18 years who is exploited through commercial sex where something of value, such as money or drugs or a place to stay, is given in return for sexual activity. It is a victim of child sex trafficking if they're a minor. Child sex trafficking is also a high priority issue in the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children because the majority of our children are listed as missing when they're being exploited.
Is indentured slavery also considered a component of human trafficking?
Oh, most definitely. Those are youth that are possibly inside of whether it would be working for construction without pay or some kind of menial pay or in exchange for clothing or food or shelter. Also, some youth may be brought in from another country that are living in a situation where they're told, you're going to come to the United States and go to school, and then they're not allowed to attend school. They become indentured in as far as the environment that they're in, whether it be a business or a home. They could be providing child care or become kind of a maid or servant within some kind of industrial institute. So, yes, there is also what we would refer to as labor trafficking.
Okay. Now, you also hear stories in the news about a person being arrested for purchasing sex from a minor, but they never refer to the act as sexual exploitation of that child.
They do not. They do not look at it as an act of molestation or a rape of a child. Many of the Johns that our task force comes in contact with describes the act as it was just purely a sexual act. They don't look at it as a violation against a child and that they can be listed as a pedophile thence moving forward.
Okay, now sometimes people say it's about choice, but is it really about choice for these children?
No, the children don't have any choice. Children aren't given the choice to whether they want to go to school or not go to school. They're not given the choice who their family members are. They're not given choice to become dependents under the Department of Children and Family Services. There's a lot of choices that children don't have, and no child decides that they want to be raped or violated or sexually abused or labor trafficked for the profit of another being. That's not a choice by any means.
Now, what are the different ways that children are being led into sexual exploitation?
There's many different ways that a child can be exploited. The majority, about 80% of our youth that do become involved with sexual exploitation have had some kind of involvement with Children and Family Service. They've been a dependent and been in some kind of court involvement, usually being removed from their family and at a young age. And then as they progress, they find this attraction, I would say, to this lifestyle.
Are these children who are actually victims, are they criminalized in the media and in general?
Up until January of 2017, the California law was persecuting or prosecuting the minors for prostitution. But when the laws changed in January 2017, we no longer charge these individuals with prostitution. What we do is we refer them to Children and Family Services, and then they become dependents. If they do not have families, they can be returned to. So they no longer are charged with that unless they're somehow connected with some other form of a charge, whether it be they're in a stolen car, if their trafficker or their pimp has them in a stolen car, or if they commit some kind of crime trying to pay, if they're, you know, being indentured or they're having to pay some kind of fee and they're doing illegal activities, then they will face those criminal activities, but they no longer are being charged or criminalized under a prostitution law.
So your whole purpose is to get these children out of this vicious cycle of exploitation, but once you do that, do you provide housing? What is the procedure from there?
So what we do is once Children and Family Services comes in contact with these youth, we try to either return them because human trafficking, these youth tend to be very transient. So through their traffickers, they can be coming from other states, they can be coming from other counties, and once they come in contact with our task force or they're in contact with Children and Family Services, we either try to reunify them with their home, whether it be family or relatives or a close family friend. If we cannot do that, then we have to place them in some kind of foster care system. So we do try to provide services. We then get mentors in place. We provide a social worker or a probation officer if for some reason they did commit a crime. And then we try to build services around them, possibly getting them a clinician, getting them into some kind of treatment. But we do try to provide housing as to the best of our ability.
Now, you talk about support and services that you render to these children. Now, does that include providing legal services?
Yes. Under the Case Coalition, two of our primary county partners are the District Attorney's Office and the Department of Public, the Public Defender. So these two entities work hand in hand with CASE. They actually sit on our multidisciplinary team. So the youth that are under our jurisdiction, they provide services. So whatever charges they may be facing, they provide direct services in regards to trying to get those services resolved or aid them in some kind of way. So yes, that's part of CASE's process in providing intensive case services to these particular minors.
Great. Now, do you have a sense of how long this has actually been going on before it was really identified, and how bad is the problem here in Southern California?
So the problem's been going on for decades. The only thing that we can really determine is that the fact that the public has become aware due to outreach and trainings and people being more receptive, also media coverage. So an interview in this fashion is shedding light and raising the awareness across the county, of course. And so I think that it has been prevalent, but I think just the knowledge of people recognizing the signs and what it looks like, if I can maybe provide a couple of those signs of what it might look like and what we're looking for in a youth.
Sure, go ahead.
So children who are chronically missing or frequently running away, if there's three or more incidences of them not being where they're supposed to be and what we call AWOLing, absence without, you know, leave. Children who have experienced child sexual abuse, we have statistically proven that 80% of all youth that become involved with human trafficking have had some kind of formal sexual abuse. Children who have also had significant substance abuse issues or live with somebody who has had a substance abuse issues may be at risk. So and our LGBTQ minor population is at risk also due to having to be excommunicated possibly from their homes or not finding the right home where they feel welcomed and loved. They might turn to the streets to find that acceptance, and they become more vulnerable, and they will do what we call survival sex, so they can have food, shelter, or some kind of monetary response. They will perform sexual acts and be trafficked in that fashion, so they, what we call survival sex.
I want to get back to the focus here on Southern California. Is it worse here in Southern California than it is in the rest of the nation?
So here in California, the FBI has determined there's 13 hot spots in all of the United States. Three of those hubs for human trafficking are right here in California. The Bay Area is one of them. Down in Los Angeles is the second one, and then San Diego is the third. San Bernardino County is a sistering county to Los Angeles and San Diego. So what our human trafficking task force here in San Bernardino area finds is that a lot of the youth that are trafficked end up at our bus stations, end up at our truck stops. And so, yes, we are a pass-through to Vegas, to San Diego. So, yes, here in California, we have three of the largest human trafficking hubs in all of the United States.
How do you think that CASE is benefiting the community?
So CASE, as I mentioned before, we've been inactive for the last 10 years, and our primary focus, other than our intensive case management, is through outreach and education, going out and talking to the schools and training law enforcement and talking to our service providers. It not only strengthens the community, but it raises their awareness and their involvement. So we have quarterly outreach and education meetings. CASE hosts those every 3 months. We also host large community events to raise awareness for trafficking. So we do that, and so that builds the capacity so that our community can be more aware and much more educated on the fact.
Okay, now January is Human Trafficking Awareness Month. Tell us a little bit about that.
So yes, this month is Human Trafficking Awareness Month, and CASE is working currently in collaboration with Cal State San Bernardino. We are doing a whole week-long human trafficking awareness event at the school. So January 22nd and 23rd, we're having the Apathy Effect exhibit through I Empathize. This is an interactive walkthrough exhibit at the university that has facts and teaches about human trafficking. And also Thursday, the 24th of January, we're doing an all-day human trafficking awareness event where there'll be multiple presentations. CASE will be doing the opening. We'll have Sexual Assault Services doing a rape and trauma training. We'll also have one of our local nonprofits called The Open Door will be doing a Human Trafficking 101 training. And then we'll do a panel discussion with survivors and members of the CASE team at the end of the day. And then also our finale, which we will be hosting here at Children's Network in San Bernardino, will be our 9th annual CASE Walk. Registration can be found on our Constant Contact.
And what's the location?
So we're here at 825 East Hospitality Lane in San Bernardino.
And if people want more information about CASE, where can they go to find that?
They can call us at Children's Network, and our phone number here is 383-9677. Or they can also possibly Google CASE in San Bernardino, and our website will come up.
Okay, you're on the Children's Network website, I believe.
Yes.
Okay, Angel Magallanes, Coalition Against Sexual Exploitation Coordinator with Children's Network, and we've been talking about the exploitation of children in Southern California. So thank you once again for joining me today, Angel. I appreciate your time.
You're so welcome. Thank you for having us. I appreciate it.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Auto Parts.